We have a go for main engine start. T-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Booster ignition and liftoff of Discovery, hoisting harmony to the heavens and opening new gateways for international science. Discovery has cleared the tower.
For thousands of years, mankind has looked toward space. But it's been less than a century since we could actually travel there.
Discovery's roll maneuver is complete.
A few centuries ago, almost all scientists believed in the biblical account of creation. However, by the time the first astronaut launched into space, many scientists had abandoned this history. Many astronomers had come to believe that our solar system and the planets and moons within it formed all by themselves without a creator about 4.5 billion years ago. But what did we find when we arrived in space? Do the planets and moons of our solar system actually support this belief? Or are they consistent with the Bible instead? The answer to this question might surprise you. Welcome to What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy, Volume 1, Our Created Solar System. I'm Spike Pisaris, your host. For a number of years, I worked as an engineer in the U.S. military space program. I entered that program as an atheist and an evolutionist. I left it as a creationist and a Christian. In this video, you'll discover some of the evidences that have convinced me, along with many others, that the Bible is true and evolution is not. I'll be your guide as we tour the solar system together. We'll see stunning pictures and movies of planets, moons, and other objects. Some are our next-door neighbors in space. Others are vast distances away. We'll discover that often, these objects do not support evolutionary ideas. Many of them appear to be quite young, not billions of years old. In fact, according to the current evolutionary models, many of the objects in our solar system cannot exist at all. Now that probably contradicts everything you've heard before. You've probably been told that evolutionary astronomers have it all figured out, and that their models prove that our solar system formed all by itself billions of years ago. Well, you'll have to hear the evidence and judge for yourself. In this video, you'll discover what you're not being told about our solar system. So let's get started. Before we can talk about how our solar system got here, we need to clarify exactly what the solar system is. When we talk about the solar system, we're talking about our sun and everything that orbits around it. This includes the 8 major planets in our solar system, along with many moons, asteroids, comets, and some smaller objects as well. By the way, this diagram is not to scale. In this video, we'll be discussing all the planets and some of their moons in our solar system. In order from the sun, the planets are Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto is a special case that we'll be discussing later. Here's what the planets would look like if you could line them all up next to the sun. In real life, the planets are much farther away from the sun and each other than this, but I wanted to show you how big the planets are compared to each other and the sun. By the way, you are here. So where did this system come from? There are two competing models for the origin of our solar system. This is a pretty straightforward issue. Either the solar system was created, or it wasn't. In this video, I'm going to use the word evolution to describe the belief that our solar system was not created. This word is often used to describe biological evolution, of course, but astronomers commonly use it in a broader meaning as well. So when I use the word evolution, I'm not talking about plants or animals. I'm talking about the belief that our solar system and everything in it formed and developed all by itself.
Stop the tape, stop the tape. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. You're listening to audio from my all-time favorite astronomy DVD by Spike Pisaris called What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy. We're going to hear more. You know, the point he just made, Spike was attacked, he was mocked by one of the world's leading astronomy bloggers at Discover Magazine's website for using the term evolution. And Spike replied, showing that the term evolution is in many, many, many astronomy textbooks in their titles about the evolution of planets, solar systems, stars, and galaxies in the universe. So it's really funny that they choose that reason. In fact, Discover Magazine has an article on their website attacking me and Fred Williams, co-hosting Real Science Friday, for just pointing that out along with Spike Pisaris. So now let's continue. Oh, and by the way, you can get this DVD from us. Either go to our website, kgov.com, click on the store, the science department, you'll love it, or call us 800-8-NYARTS, 800-836-9278. Now let's continue with some of the audio from Spike Pisaris.
I used to believe in evolution, but not anymore. I now believe that the entire universe and everything in it, including our solar system, was created by God as described in the Bible. Of course, many scientists today disagree strongly with this idea. These men and women believe that no creation occurred. They believe that the solar system formed billions of years ago without a creator being involved. In this video, you'll discover why their model is wrong. Of course, this won't prove that the creation model is right. It's impossible to use science to prove any historical event happened. All we can do is see which scenario fits the evidence the best. And that's what this video is all about. Most people have been told that all the evidence points toward evolution. As we tour the solar system together, ask yourself this question. Are the planets and moons consistent with these evolutionary ideas or not? I think you'll see that the answer is no. I think you'll see that the evidence is perfectly consistent with the creation viewpoint instead. So let's discuss these two opposing models. The creation model is based on the Bible. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible doesn't give us a specific date for this event, but from other passages in the Bible, we can calculate that this would have been about 6,000 years ago. On the other hand, someone who believes in evolution denies the biblical account. The dominant evolutionary model today is called the solar nebula model. According to this model, our solar system formed from a swirling cloud of gas and dust about 4.5 to 4.6 billion years ago. The evolutionary story goes something like this. In the beginning, there was gas. About 4.6 billion years ago, an enormous cloud of gas collapsed and started to swirl. Most of the gas went into the middle and became our sun. The rest of it swirled around the new sun and started to condense into grains of dust. As the grains of dust orbited the sun, they started to stick together and became clumps of dust. Then the clumps stuck together to become little rocks. The little rocks stuck together to become big rocks. After enough time had passed, the gas had turned into huge asteroids. These asteroids stuck together to become the planets we see today. Astronomers have a special name for these asteroids. They're called planetesimals, which means little planets. Since you probably haven't heard this word before, I'm going to call them asteroids instead. It means basically the same thing anyway. For example, most secular astronomers believe that the asteroids we see in our solar system today are leftover planetesimals that never quite got it together to form planets. Evolutionists are confident that their model is correct. After all, it explains why all the planets orbit the sun in the same direction. It also explains why the solar system is flat today, with all the planets lining up in a disk shape as they orbit the sun. Plus, it explains why the inner planets are rocky, and the outer planets are made of gas and ice. Supposedly, the heavier rocky materials were able to condense close to the sun, while the lighter materials were more volatile and could only condense further away from the sun. Sounds good, doesn't it? The problem is that it doesn't work. It turns out that you can't build planets like the evolutionists say. You can build clumps of dust, certainly. We know that dust particles stick together. Just look under your furniture and see the dust bunnies there for proof. Well, experiments in space have shown that dust bunnies will form in a vacuum, too. The problem is that once you have big clumps of dust, and maybe even some small pebbles, they don't grow together anymore. They start impacting each other too fast to stick together. Instead, they start breaking each other up in the collisions. Gravity isn't strong enough to overcome this until after the rocks have formed into small asteroids. So, despite the fancy computer animations you see on science videos, there's no way to get from dust clumps to planets. Evolutionary astronomers know this is true. That's why you see quotes like this one in the astronomy textbooks. Once these planetesimals have been formed, further growth of planets may occur through the gravitational accretion into large bodies. Just how that takes place is not understood. So before we even discuss any planets or moons, the evolutionary theory is breaking down already. It can't produce the asteroids it needs to build the planets. Will it do any better when we examine the actual planets and moons themselves? Let's take a look and see.
You're listening to a special edition of Real Science Friday, where we're tuning into the audio from a great DVD, Spike Psaras. It's titled What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy. You can get this DVD from us here. Call us 800-8-NYARTS, 800-836-9278, or go to our website, kgov.com. Click on the store in the science department. Now we're going to jump ahead because Spike has a section on each of the planets. So we're going to jump ahead to Jupiter. We've got that ready. Let's go.
Jupiter is sometimes called the king of the planets. It's the largest planet in our solar system. Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune are giants too. They're all much bigger than the Earth, as you can see. But Jupiter is by far the biggest. Jupiter has beautiful, intricate clouds swirling over its entire surface. It also has a famous feature called the Great Red Spot. The Red Spot is a huge storm system swirling on Jupiter. This has existed for about as long as we've had telescopes to look at it. So it's hundreds of years old at least. It might even have been there since Jupiter was created, for all we know. As you can see, this one storm is bigger than the entire Earth. Jupiter also has huge electrical storms on its surface. Jupiter is a violent place. Just like all the other planets, Jupiter confounds evolutionary models of our solar system. For one thing, evolution says Jupiter can't be spinning as fast as it is. The evolutionary model makes certain predictions about how fast the planets will spin. However, Jupiter exceeds those predictions. One recent article quoted an evolutionist who has studied this problem. He said, "We came to the conclusion that if you accrete planets from a uniform disk of planetesimals, prograde rotation just can't be explained. The simulated bombardment leaves a growing planet spinning once a week at most, not once a day." This is a huge problem for evolution. Jupiter is not only the biggest planet in the solar system, it's also spinning the fastest. It spins all the way around on its axis in only 10 hours. How much energy do you need to spin up a planet this big to make it go this fast? The energy is enormous, and evolutionary models can't supply it. Jupiter would have needed at least 10 million years to form, and that's being generous. Some scientists say it would take even longer than that. But these scientists also acknowledge that a disk of gas and dust wouldn't have lasted around our sun for that long. Many scientists believe that such a disk would have dissipated in less than 5 million years. This means that in the evolutionary model, Jupiter would have had no time to form. So, according to evolution, Jupiter shouldn't exist at all. The more we've studied Jupiter, the more evolutionists have realized it doesn't fit into their models. One recent report said this: "Talk about a major embarrassment for planetary scientists. There, blazing away in the late evening sky, are Jupiter and Saturn, the gas giants that account for 93% of the solar system's planetary mass, and no one has a satisfying explanation of how they were made." Well, that last part isn't true. The Bible has a very satisfying explanation of how they were made. But now that evolutionists have rejected the Bible, their only explanation for these planets is lots of shoulder shrugging. Jupiter has over 60 moons. They pose problems for evolution too. Let's take a look at the four biggest ones. From upper left clockwise, we have Io, Europa, Callisto, and Ganymede. Ganymede is the largest of Jupiter's moons. It's even bigger than the planet Mercury. Ganymede has one of the most bizarre surfaces in our entire solar system. It's crisscrossed with ridges and grooved terrain, but with weird patterns streaking across it all. Some places are rough and rocky, other places are flat and smooth. It almost looks like somebody took a giant paintbrush and painted huge swipes across the surface. But this isn't the only challenge Ganymede poses for people who try to explain how it formed without a creator. Evolutionary models predicted that Ganymede couldn't have a magnetic field. But when our space probes arrived and started taking measurements, we found that it does have a magnetic field. Ganymede doesn't match the evolutionary model at all. Then there's Callisto. This moon is the most heavily cratered object in the solar system. Evolutionists believe that it has one of the oldest surfaces of any object, about 4 billion years old. It was a real surprise then when our space probes took some close-up pictures. Evolutionists expected a large number of smaller craters to go with the big ones, but they aren't there. They should be there if the surface is really billions of years old, but they're not. Callisto doesn't match the evolutionary cratering model. Not only that, some of the pictures show what appears to be fresh ice on Callisto's surface. This means that there's still erosion and geological activity going on. Evolutionary models say that Callisto is old, cold, and dead, but apparently that's not true. Next, there's Europa. Europa is in some ways the opposite of Callisto. Callisto is the most heavily cratered object in the solar system. Europa is the smoothest. Not only are there very few craters, Europa has very little terrain of any kind. It's almost perfectly smooth. The entire moon is covered with a shell of ice. The ice is several miles thick, but some scientists believe there might be liquid water beneath it. And where there's water, there has to be life, right? We already talked about how ridiculous that idea is, but nevertheless, you still hear it in the news a lot. Somebody finds a new crack on Europa and thinks, ooh, look, water might ooze up into the crack, and there might be life evolving in the water. Then some reporter runs a story about it that says we're on the verge of finding life elsewhere in the solar system, even though all we found was a crack in a moon. That sounds ridiculous, but it happens a lot in astronomy, unfortunately. Because Europa has only a few craters, we've been able to study them closely. One recent study has shown that the evolutionary model for cratering is all wrong. We've talked about cratering before. We've seen that evolutionists like to use craters to date things in the solar system. After all, the more craters something has, the longer it's been sitting there getting struck by other objects. Well, this study discovered that the impact of just one object can throw up debris and form lots and lots of craters. Scientists had already known this was possible, but evolutionists didn't expect the effect to be this large. The study showed that up to 95% of small craters and a lot of the medium ones were formed in this way. This means that these planets and moons have been struck with a lot fewer impacts than evolutionists thought. And that calls into question all those billions of years that these objects have supposedly been around. Remember that Venus's surface looks very young, but its crater supposedly proved is a half billion years old? Now we know this isn't true. And craters are also used to support an old age for the Earth's moon. Supposedly, our moon needed billions of years to accumulate all of its craters. Thanks to Europa, we now know this isn't true. The scientists in this study specifically said the Europa results caused problems for the current accepted age of Earth's moon. Isn't it interesting that one small moon of Jupiter, so far away from us, can wreck evolutionary models of even our own moon? The last moon of Jupiter that we'll be discussing is Io. Compared to Jupiter, Io is an insignificant little speck of a moon. But it's turned out to be one of the most spectacular places in the solar system. Io's surface is covered with volcanoes. All the spots you see on its surface here are volcanic. Over 400 volcanoes have been counted on Io, and at least 150 of them are active today. The black spot you see here is a volcano named Loki. It's more powerful than all the Earth's volcanoes combined. Volcanoes on Io can be incredibly violent. We've seen fountains of lava blasting material 180 miles into space. We've also measured geysers of lava shooting out of the volcanoes at over 2,000 miles per hour. That's more than 10 times as fast as the most violent volcanoes here on Earth. Io gives us some fascinating insights on the long-age evolutionary theories. For example, Io puts out twice as much heat as the Earth does. Where does all this heat come from? Well, some of it comes from tidal flexing. Io is caught in a gravitational tug-of-war between Jupiter on the one side and Jupiter's other large moons on the other. They're both pulling on Io, and this squeezing and flexing is generating heat inside Io's interior. The problem is that this squeezing can only account for some of Io's heat. So where does the rest of the heat come from? Well, if Io is young, it could still be cooling off from its initial formation. But if it's really billions of years old, that energy would have dissipated long ago. So, according to evolutionary theory, Io shouldn't have all those active volcanoes you see on its surface, but it does. Io's volcanoes create another problem for the models with billions of years. We've measured the lavas coming from the volcanoes, and there's an amazing amount of it. The Imarani volcano alone, which you see here, is flooding the moon's surface with 100 cubic meters of lava per second. It's erupting like that continuously, and this isn't even the biggest volcano on Io. For example, look at these before and after pictures of the Palan Patera. Between the times these photos were taken, there was a massive eruption that produced the dark spot you see on the upper right. That's a huge lava flow, about as big as the state of Nevada. And these flows happen quickly. We saw a different volcano produce almost this much lava in just 2 days. Has Io really been erupting like this for 4.5 billion years? We've measured some of these flows coming out of these volcanoes, and it's a huge amount of material. If Io really was 4.5 billion years old, it would have recycled itself through its own volcanoes over 30 times. Surely Io can't be billions of years old. And there's another problem too. We've studied volcanoes on Earth, and the lavas here reach amazing temperatures, 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. At least these temperatures seemed amazing until we examined Io. Evolutionists were flabbergasted with the discovery that some of the lavas on Io are almost 1,000 degrees hotter than Earth lavas. They're also very dense. So here's the problem for evolution. If Io really was billions of years old, these temperatures and densities wouldn't be possible. After the first few million years, Io should have formed a low-density crust, after all the higher-density material sank down to the inside. But there are still high-density materials on the surface. Forget about billions of years. Io apparently isn't even millions of years old. Io looks quite young. It matches perfectly with the biblical account of creation just a few thousand years ago. And that brings us to the end of our discussion on Jupiter. So let's review. Here's what you're not being told about Jupiter and its moons. According to evolution, Jupiter can't be spinning as fast as it is. According to evolution, Jupiter can't be made up of the material it's made up of. According to evolution, there wasn't enough time for Jupiter to even form. Ganymede shouldn't have a magnetic field, but it does. Callisto shouldn't be geologically active, but it is. Europa shows that long-age crater counting methods are wrong, and Io looks very young. Evolutionary models fail utterly to explain Jupiter. That's why evolutionists make complaints like this one. Building Jupiter has long been a problem for theorists. Or this one. I don't think the existence of Jupiter would be predicted if it weren't observed. So why do they still cling to a broken model? Because when you reject the truth, you have to accept a lie. Pity the poor evolutionist who is so committed to a bankrupt theory that he can't see the hand of his creator in this majestic planet.
We are listening to my favorite astronomy DVD of all time by Spike Pisarris, What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy. We have a little bit of time left. You could get the DVD from us at kgov.com or calling us at 800-8-NYART. But right now, let's go to a section on Saturn. That's a fun one.
Saturn's rings are one of the most famous sights in all of astronomy. The rings look solid, but they're not. They're actually made up of millions of particles, all orbiting Saturn together. The particles are mostly ice and dirt. Some are as small as grains of dust, others are large boulders. The rings are also razor thin compared to Saturn's bulk. This series of pictures was taken as the Cassini spacecraft moved from below the rings to above them. You can see how thin the rings are. When you compare their width to their thickness, it's about the same as a sheet of paper that's as wide as the city of San Francisco. Oh, and that little guy you saw shooting across the top was one of Saturn's moons. We'll talk about a couple of those in just a few minutes. Saturn's rings are mysterious. They're more than just belts of particles orbiting the planet. For example, there are spokes in them, as you see here. Some of them are even braided. Nobody expected these features in the rings, and some of them are still a puzzle. It's as if somebody created them just to delight and fascinate us. So how do the rings get there? I believe they were created at the same time Saturn was, a few thousand years ago. Of course, evolutionists won't accept this. Here's what a NASA scientist had to say about them. After all this time, we're still not sure about the origin of Saturn's rings, says Jeff Kuzzi, a planetary scientist at the NASA Ames Research Center. Kuzzi speculates that some hundreds of millions of years ago, a time when the earliest dinosaurs roamed our planet, Saturn had no bright rings. Then, he says, something unlikely happened. Yes, that's right. Here's Jeff Kuzzi again. A moon-sized object from the outer solar system might have flown nearby Saturn, where tidal forces ripped it apart. Or maybe an asteroid smashed one of Saturn's existing moons. The debris encircled the planet and formed the rings we see today. Are you starting to detect a pattern in evolutionist explanations? Not all evolutionists take refuge in this, though. There's a report from NASA on Saturn's rings that I think is interesting. Here's what it says. Saturn's rings, age and origin unknown. Saturn defies evolutionary models in several ways. For one thing, its magnetic field doesn't match evolutionary predictions at all. As one article explained, Saturn dumbfounded planetary theorists who study dynamo models by having a highly symmetric internal magnetic field. A field that is symmetric about the rotation axis violates a basic theorem of magnetic dynamos. Saturn's magnetic field doesn't seem to be coming from a dynamo.
Stop the tape. All right. It is so much fun. You can see why, you can hear why, I call this the best astronomy DVD ever made. And when you add the video, the stunning video, there's great animation. It is funny. Spike has a dry humor that you'll just love. And you're going to want to see it. And here at Bob and Yurt Live, we offer everything with a money-back guarantee. I think this is $24.99 plus shipping and handling. So why don't you call us at 800-8-N-YART, 800-836-9278, or go online to kgov.com, click on our store, and then just go to the science department and scroll down, and you'll see this great DVD. You can get it mailed to you. I think you will love it. And if you like to talk about creation and you want to be better prepared when you talk to unbelievers or non-Christians, just check out our Real Science Friday shows online at kgov.com. Oh, and by the way, we could use your help, too, to stay on the air. So just help us out at Bob and Yurt Live. May God bless you.